welcome to another episode of the Comic Source Podcast. This is Jace. In this episode, you're going to get to hear an interview I did at San Diego Comic-Con with Lee Bermejo. I talk a lot about my favorite creators. You know, I'll sit down with somebody or, you know, I'll talk about somebody's art. Man, they're really one of my favorite creators. And so I want to make sure that everybody who listens to this interview and is listening to this podcast understands that if there were only one comic creator that I could follow, it would be Lee Bermejo. He is such an incredible talent. And even beyond that, he's probably the most genuine, sincere, thoughtful, and passionate creator that I've ever talked to. He's just amazing. I love his work. The work he's doing on Suiciders, Kings of Hellade right now. The covers he does. If he does a cover, I'm buying it. His work is just absolutely amazing. And like I said, he's just such a genuine, nice guy. He loves comics. He loves the medium. And it's not just technical for him. I mean, there is that aspect of his art and breaking things down and putting it on the page the right way and making it look good. And the fact that he's self-taught, the fact that when he started at Wildstorm, he didn't have the most talent. You know, he didn't have the most natural talent, I should say. And he worked really hard to develop the talent that he did have. And you know, I've talked to other creators that were there at the time at Wildstorm, that, you know, this young kid coming in, and he just worked his tail off to get to where he's at. And I feel like he doesn't necessarily get the due that he probably deserves. I think that a lot of hardcore comic fans that know his name realize what an incredible talent he is, realize how hard he's worked to get to where he's at, and that's good. But his name is not necessarily out there in the mainstream like, say, a Jim Lee or an Alex Ross is. But I'll tell you what, this guy is just as talented as either one of those, if not more so. And like I said, even beyond that, his passion for the books, his willingness to talk to fans, it goes above and beyond. It's you know, he lives in Italy, so he's only usually over here once a year for San Diego Comic-Con. So it's always a pleasure to see him. He's a great, great talent, like I said. We Are Robin ended. It's out there in trade now. You can pick it up. That's his work. He did the covers. He did the story. The story is his idea, his plotting. And then his Kings of Hellade series finishes up the Suiciders story that he's been telling for DC in their Vertigo imprint. So they both get my highest possible recommendations. Go and pick them up. You'll hear in the interview that Lee talks about when they're releasing the Suiciders trade. It's going to collect both the first Suiciders miniseries, which was 6 issues, and the Kings of Hellade that's finishing up this month. They're going to move things around. They're going to, story-wise, it's going to make more sense chronologically. It's going to be in a different order, so it may make more sense for people. So I encourage you to seek out the trade. I encourage you to seek out Lee Bermejo's work on covers that he does. And honestly, if you're a fan of comic art, now's the time to get your hands on some original Bermejo art. It's not inexpensive, I'd say, but it's a good investment, and it's only going to get more expensive as time goes on and more people discover who Lee Bermejo is. So as I said, he's at the top of my list for comic creators that I love to sit down and talk with, and at the top of my list for cover artists, and just an amazing guy. I always love running into Lee. So I hope you all enjoy the interview. Once again, I want to thank everybody for supporting the Comic Source by listening. We really appreciate the support. Any following we have on social media, whether it be Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and visits to our website, really help out. If you'd like to follow us on those places, twitter.com/thecomicsource, or do a search on Facebook or Instagram for The Comic Source, that's us. If you'd like to visit our website, thecomicsourceblog.com, you can find all past episodes of our podcast there, as well as watch episodes of our YouTube channel. You can find Manny's written blog, my written blog, and of course our famous sketch gallery. So as I said, thanks for supporting us, and I hope you enjoy the interview. We'll talk to you next time.
All right, this is Jace from The Comic Source coming to you once again from San Diego Comic-Con here with one of my favorite comic illustrators, Lee Bermejo. It's been a year since I've seen you.
It has been. The year has flown, too. I can't believe it's another San Diego. It doesn't feel like a whole year has passed.
Probably. It doesn't. Let's talk a little, just real briefly.
Sure.
We Are Robin.
Okay.
Are you happy with the way it turned out?
Yeah, I mean, okay, look, there's two sides of that coin. Am I happy that we got the ending we wanted to do and everything, you know, we were able to wrap it up exactly as I had intended from the beginning? Yes, absolutely. I'm really pleased we got to do that. As an artist, I have that element, that part of me with every project I work on where you see what comes out and you tend to want to pick it apart. And you tend to want to kind of, oh, if I'd done this differently, oh, I would have changed this. Hindsight is 20/20, you know. So that I think is everything I've ever done. I've had that reaction to. But the best thing I've taken out of We Are Robin is I feel like we ended stronger than we began. And the guys I worked with were so amazing. I mean, you know, getting to work with Rob Haynes, getting to work with Jorge Corona, getting to work with James Harvey. These were guys that I really did learn a lot from. And with the new stuff that I'm working on, I feel some of their presence in it just because of We Are Robin. So I was incredibly fortunate to work with those guys. And I think what we did, I'm hoping it's something that will stay and not be seen so much as a moment in time, but you know, now that the collections are coming out and stuff, I'm hoping that people will continue to discover it.
Right. Well, it's interesting that you say that. You're in a way your own worst critic, because some of the most passionate creators and some of the most popular creators, and I'm thinking specifically of Scott Snyder and Charles Soule, they're the same. They never want to rest on what they've done. They want to continually push themselves and challenge themselves.
Yeah.
Never be satisfied.
Yeah.
Be happy with what you put out, but never be satisfied.
Yeah. It's really a strange thing. It's like when I finish a project, I usually have this thing where I can't really look at it for a few months. I have to just kind of put it aside. And recently with Suiciders, I picked it up again, and I very quickly had to put it back down because, you know, maybe a couple years from now I'll be able to appreciate that was a moment in my life and was, you know, as an artist you see the personal things that were going on as well as what you did story-wise and how that influenced things. But immediately after, I have a real hard time with that stuff, you know? It's like, it's hard to not be critical.
Yeah, that's Kings of Hell A, which is currently coming out.
Yeah, Kings of Hell A is the newest thing, which again, it's like I feel like I have another situation similar to We Are Robin, where I got to work with an artist who really encapsulated what I wanted to do perfectly and brought his own thing to the table, and I'm just really happy with what he did. And, you know, it's I feel like Kings of L.A. has more heart than the first miniseries had, and I'm really excited for people to actually read the ending, because much in the same way the first miniseries ended, the ending of Kings of Hell A ties things together, so you're going to see the real connective tissue between that miniseries and the first miniseries, even now they seem like different things. I think there's going to be some revelations that are really going to tie the thing together.
Thank you. I think for me, I did sense that there's more emotion in this second story.
Right.
And I think the first story, a big theme was identity, like figuring out who you are.
Yeah. It's a noir theme, you know.
Right.
Like a lot of traditional noir has that theme to it.
Yeah. Kings of Hell A for me is more about family, which immediately evokes emotion.
Yeah. Yes.
So that was purposeful that you're exploring those different themes.
I mean, you know, you're talking about the main characters are a group of kids who essentially create the gang as their surrogate family, and Leonard, the the ex-suicider, has lost his family. These main characters, that's a huge element of the story, is this sense of the driving force, behind everything, is that sense of what is it about where you live that affects you, as opposed to, at what point do the more important parts of your life take over, despite what you have going on around you. So I think that family is just a natural theme. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
And you still have one more story to tell in this world, is that right?
No, actually, Kings of Hell A is, that's the ending. Yeah, I'm hoping with the trade, they're going to do a trade, which just got solicited, actually. I'm hoping eventually I'll get to do a new piece to the story, but okay. For now, it's being closed off at Kings of Hell A, so unfortunately, I can't do the last miniseries that I wanted to do, but...
Sometimes it's good to step away for a while, give you some perspective.
Yeah, but such is publishing. You know what I mean. Yeah. You never know what is gonna move forward and what won't. You know what I mean. And that sometimes these projects find life afterwards.
Right.
You know, it happens a lot actually, specifically with Vertigo books, because they tend to have their life gets defined in trade form.
Mm-hmm.
So. We'll see what the future holds, but for now, Kings of Hell is it.
Do you have any other projects that you can tease at all that you're working on?
I do have another project. I can't say anything.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't even tease it.
Fair enough. Well, I will say I did see the Daredevil cover you did.
Oh, cool. Yeah, thank you.
That was an amazing.
Yeah, that was actually fun. Speaking of Charles Soule, just like there was, we and I had a lot of back and forth on that, which was great. I like that kind of thing. So I'm a big fan of his work. And specifically what he's doing with Daredevil right now. So it was just a pleasure, getting to do that, that piece.
It's good to see you again, Lee.
Yeah,
thanks for taking the time.
Yeah, thanks again for your time. I really appreciate it.
You listeners are out there. Like Lee said, the solicitation's out now. Pre-order that Suicide of Man. It blew me away. It blew me away when I read it.
The cool thing about that, the trade though, the new trade, is that it's going to be in chronological order.
Oh, nice.
So there, I think that will provide a reading experience that's going to be new, because where the first miniseries was 30 years after the quake, this Kings of Hell A is 15 years after the quake. Just flipping those and actually having people maybe come to the book and read it, Kings of Hell A first, I think it, again, people will know more when the sixth issue comes out, but that connective tissue will really make it feel like a whole story.
Right.
So
cool.
I am excited about that very much.
Great to see you, Lee.
Likewise. Thanks again.